The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. We are back from the break, and hopefully we have a few callers this hour. It's 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Outdoorsman Radio Show. How long have we been here? 33 years? Been
yep, and today's exotics, we're talking about bloodworms.
Yeah, we are talking about bloodworms. Well, bloodworms are expensive right now. Very. Hearing prices like...
I got a question. What is not expensive right now?
Oh, I understand. I know that. That's a good question. But, you know, bloodworms have steadily going up over the years. And it's very interesting because the only place you get bloodworms is off the beaches of Maine. Did you know that?
No.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I did know that. I'm sorry. I did know that.
Maine is the only producer of bloodworms that we know of. In the country, and they all come from there. And there are people who will go out at low tide and pick bloodworms. Okay? So the same people that pick bloodworms are also the same people that pick blueberries, which Maine is well known for.
A blueberry grunt, that is amazing.
Yes, indeed. Well, it depends on the season, whether they're going to pick blueberries or whether they're going to pick bloodworms. And it also depends on whoever's going to pay the highest.
Do they have a hard time getting bloodworm and blueberry pickers like we have a hard time getting crab pickers and oyster shuckers? And
yes, yes. These are mostly Mainers, though. They are not, neither not agriculture workers or, you know, that I know of. But the price hike right now is because the pickers are demanding higher wages. Okay. I guess to combat inflation and everything else that's going on, the pickers decide they're worth more money and they want more money. So, you know, to get someone to pick, and there are only like four or five major suppliers of bloodworms in the country. You know, everybody buys from the same sources. So once they get here, they've been from the picker's hand to the buyer's hand, to the distributor's hand, to the retailer's hand. So it goes through, you know, a variety of markups. Well, now what I'm hearing is they're about $18 a dozen. Some people are selling them. I think Clyde's is one that sells like a half dozen of quality bloodworms for one price. I'll have to check with them on how that works. But I said all that to say this. Scientists have studied bloodworms. And there was an article in Popular Science magazine, and the title is "The Copper Jaws of Venomous Bloodworms Could Be a Win for Sustainable Manufacturing. The efficient building process of these unique fangs could improve how composite materials are made." This is written by Kate Bagley. It was published April 26, just a couple of days ago. There's a picture close up there of a bloodworm with those four nasty teeth. Anybody who's ever been bitten by a bloodworm know that they bite and they don't let go and that hurts. And then there's the photo close up of what one of those teeth looks like. So it says, having sturdy jaws is essential for the small marine creatures known as bloodworms. The worms, which grow to about 15 inches in length, spend their lives burrowing through the muddy seafloor and hunting small crustaceans, mollusks, and other worms. They need their jaws to kill the more active prey, says Herbert Waite, a marine biochemist at the University of California, Santa Barbara. They also use the jaws to fight each other off because they're not very sociable, and occasionally the worms will collide in the burrows. The jaws must be both very sharp and very tough, because bloodworms only make them once during their lifetimes. The key to this fearsome maw lies in a unique mix of copper, melanin, and a protein with some impressive chemical properties. He and his collaborators reported on April 25th in the journal Matter, M-A-T-T-E-R. The worm's efficient jaw-building process may hold insights for improving how composite materials, which are made from a mix of different substances, are manufactured, the team concluded. Each bloodworm sports a proboscis with four black jaws to grasp other animals and inject them with paralyzing venom. These hollow fangs are lightweight, but they can withstand a lot of wear and tear thanks to their melanin and copper components. Waite and his colleagues wrote in the paper, "These are unusual ingredients for animal jaws. Copper is usually quite toxic to animals, and melanin is a pigment that rarely serves as a structural element. We've had an interest in how different marine invertebrates make load-bearing structures for survival, and this one stood out in particular because it was one of the only ones reported to have high copper content. Scientists aren't sure why the worms opted for copper rather than another metal more typically used by marine invertebrates, such as iron or zinc. However, one possibility is that the copper reacts with the venom stored in the fangs. The worm has the luxury of storing these toxins in some kind of less harmful or inert form, and they become toxic as they move through the channels in the jaw on their way into the prey." I found that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having been bitten by a bloodworm.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that, you know, they're looking at this tiny little thing, this tiny little tooth, this tiny little fang on a bloodworm to figure out how to blend materials better in manufacturing.
Hmm.
Pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Yep. So.
I want to know who came up with the idea and then who got the funding for that.
Exactly. Here we got a message from Joe. He said, "I stopped eating raw oysters because of bloodworms. I was at a bull and oyster roast years ago and had the oyster guy shuck half a dozen for me. Normally I'd slope them off the shell, but that day I used a fork to lift them off the shell because I was dipping them in cocktail sauce. When I got to the third oyster, there was a big bloodworm under the oyster. That cured me."
It's not going to stop me, but daggone, that's close.
Yeah, that's close. Oh, I stopped eating oysters for a long time. When I first came to WCBM, used to get invited to go to some of their public things, and one of them was a bull and oyster roast. And that's when I discovered mayworms in raw oysters, and that put me off my feed for a long time. Long time. Yep. So mayworms bloom in the spring and May, that's why they're called mayworms, in Chesapeake Bay on the oyster grounds. I'm not sure what they are. Maybe we'll talk about mayworms next week. We'll see.
Well, did you know that bloodworms really aren't worms?
What are they, Chris?
They are mosquito larvae. Yep.
Wait a minute.
I'd hate to see that big old mosquito.
Yep, I'm looking it up right now.
We're talking about the same thing?
And they are basically mosquito larvae.
I don't think we're talking about the same species.
Yes, bloodworms that are raised in the mudflats in Maine. They
really?
Are mosquito larvae.
Okay, that's a new one for me.
I have never heard that.
Never heard it, but we'll
Chris,
go with
you
it.
I have
gone through several web pages, and they're all saying the same thing, which is why they bite.
Okay.
Okay, I gotta look this one up and
yeah,
understand
Robin,
it.
Yeah,
Robin.
No,
just because I gotta understand it.
We gotta figure that one out.
It physically doesn't make sense to me.
No, they're a marine worm. I've never heard that they would turn into something.
They are from the seabed of marine waters and the small red larvae from midflies.
What kind of flies?
Midge flies. So basically they're larvae of mosquitoes, because that's why they bite.
Okay.
Like I said, go ahead and take a look at several web pages.
Yeah, we will.
I'm just confused because I can't figure out how...
A 15-inch bloodworm doesn't turn into a midge that you can hardly see.
No, but the midge, this before they turn into... From what I'm gathering, I mean, I'm reading this really quick.
Okay.
But they are the larvae of midge flies.
Okay, I'm going to work
right,
on
we'll
this.
All right, we'll put our chief researcher on that one.
I believe you. I'm confused.
Bloodworms are a type of larvae that reside in ponds and freshwater ponds.
No.
They are typically farmed around the north coast of America. Bloodworms, the larvae of non-biting midge flies, are appreciated by a majority of aquatic pets, and it can be a supplemental food or main diet.
Okay. Do they give the genus and species on those?
Yeah, because it says here, indigenous to mud flats, bloodworms are the very hardy creatures and favorite food for fish. I'm looking to see what they, let me see.
Yeah, genus and species is what's important on that one.
Yeah, Glycera.
Okay.
Yeah. Could be 36 centimeters an inch.
How much is,
36 centimeters, 14 inches.
Okay.
Same thing you said.
All right. Well, while we're studying this, you know, with our online resources, we have a radio show to do, so we'll
No, but this is all
number.
Part of it.
I understand that, 410, but we can't just all sit here staring at our phones and going, oh, this says that, and that says this.
I know, but it's so much fun. Nobody else cares what we do. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, people.
People want to hear about turkey gobbling and fish biting and, you know.
Do you know they have full small antennae? Four small antennae.
No.
I'm losing it.
Yes, okay. You are, but that's okay. It's normal.
They're carnivorous.
Okay, so am I. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to call and comment on the price of bloodworms, and if you know, maybe you left them in your refrigerator too long and they've turned into biting midges, we'd like to hear that too. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Chris is standing by. But I know I need to see the genus and species on the different...
Okay, look, I'm working on it.
I know
okay?
you are.
Right
I
now I'm
are.
In their sexual mature worm transfers.
Oh, that would figure you would be doing that. So, Chris, let's take our first break. I think that's probably the best alternative right now. Oh, my goodness. Aye, Robin, you and Chris...
What would you do without us?
I don't know.
See, Chris, we are a team.
It would be very difficult.
I think he's answering a phone call.
Yeah, I think he is, too. That's fine. That is fine. You know, spring's here. It's time. It's time to head out to Backyard Billy's. Check out the selection in Backyard Billy's backyard. Now, look. That old beat-up, you know, picnic table that you've had for at least 25 years. Time for that to go. The hard benches with the splinters. Time for that to go. Stop at Backyard Billy's and check out the giant selection of colorful, weatherproof poly and outdoor patio furniture. Weatherproof poly outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs. You will never look at it. Old wood bench picnic table the same way again once you stop there. What an amazing selection, isn't it, Robin?
Uh-huh.
Backyard Billy's on Kent Island is your go-to place for making backyards fun. You can see the 300 different Adirondack chairs with fish on them and crabs on them. That poly stuff is really cool. You see all that from Route 50 at Exit 44 when you drive by. You'll see all those colorful chairs out there in the yard. Well, that's what I'm talking about. You'll find gym sets. We used to call them swing sets, but they're now gym sets. All right. And storage sheds and tiki bars in Backyard Billy's backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. Now, inside Backyard Billy's showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills, pellet grills by Traeger, ceramic smoker grills by Kamado Joe and Big Green Egg are here. at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Time for an upgrade. Time to get that old rusty charcoal grill replaced with a good old ceramic smoker or even a pellet grill that you run from your phone. There's also a huge assortment of outdoor fire pits and rings when you want to have one of those little bonfires or little s'mores making evenings when it's a little chilly out there. Keep in mind, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is a premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region. Visit BackyardBillies.com. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500 for Backyard Billy's. Open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, with the new website, ClydesFishingGear.com. They've got live and frozen bait. They've got fishing license rod repairs, lures and hooks, including circle hooks, bucktails, umbrellas, and parachutes for the trolling season. They've got trolling rod and reel combinations at very reasonable prices. They do. They have kids' fishing combos with summer coming right around the corner. They've got pen reels, Fluger rods and reels, Shakespeare rods and reels, including the Ugly Stick, and if you want to upgrade your bass rod, St. Croix. St. Croix fishing rods, way to go. You can also get new line wound on your spool, and they've got every size. You can wind it on any trolling reel or any bait cast or any spinning reel, ultralight to big ones. Clyde Sports Shop, again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. You'll be glad you did, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, a weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any other kind of tools, your Linex Bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Cadenceville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called ValueGuard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Linex at Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex install your Linex spray-on, truck bedliner, and truck gear today. Linex.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fishing worm, fishing worm. Everybody's wishing they had fishing worm. Find them in the garden, turn over a rock. Slip them in your sandwich, put them in your sock. That's fishing worm, fishing worm. Well, my big sister, she don't care for my fishing worm. Big ones, little ones, they scare her to death. She'd make a chocolate shake, I'd drop a couple in the blender. And now she's looking at me with bated breath. From eating fish and worms, fish and worms. Everybody's wishing they had fish and worms. Do your English homework, underline a word. Circle direct object and transitive verb with a fish and worm, fish and worm. Wrap them around a corkscrew, twist them around some twine, take them to the hell spot so they can unwind. That's fishing worm, fishing worm.
There we go, fishing worm. I thought you'd enjoy that.
Yeah, it's a new song for me.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep. Do you know you can find bloodworms in your toilet?
Okay. You guys are freaking me out here with the different types of information.
And it just means you better be careful when you use those spot a pots this coming summer.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Especially as we're trying to get to Maine.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any callers on the line, Chris?
Yes, we have Lee from
Texas. Let's talk to Lee and get me out of this. Good morning, Lee.
I don't know. I was going to join in on it, but hey, an alternative to bloodworms, because I went through the tour one time of trying to find them, is fish bites. It's a little...
Yeah.
It comes in a strip, Alan. You cut it.
Yep, I've seen them.
Length, yep. And it's got a... It stays on the hook real well, and Alan and Robin, it catches, I know it catches white perch real good.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it.
It comes in a little plastic bag. They have different flavors. They have bloodworm flavor, and they have, you know, and it's just a little strip of some kind of protein material, I guess. I don't know if it's soybeans or what it is,
yep.
But it's infused with the flavor of the critter that you want, you know, and you just cut it in little pieces.
I'm not sure, you know, if it's man-made or what, but whatever. A friend of mine, we had bloodworms, ran out, and he said, let's get a pack of that fish bites, and it worked probably as good, if not better, because it stayed on the hook.
Yeah, they're tough. I know that.
Half like a dozen perch before it fell off.
Yeah, they're like a dog chew almost. So.
Yeah.
All right, here is something I found on Aquaria Dice, an aquarium website. It said bloodworms is an ambiguous common name, but generally understood as one of the popular food choices in the aquarium hobby. Otherwise. You got to pay attention to the otherwise. There are two main types of bloodworm in the scientific world. Those in the Cryonomidia family and those in the Glycera genus. In this article, we'll mainly focus on the bloodworms that make good snack for fish and the different ways they can become pre-prepared for the hobbyist to use. So, that's what I was asking. Genus and species.
I know, but even so, the bloodworms they show that go up into the 15 inches, they say, is a larvae. I mean, I read that. I mean, there are two different kinds of bloodworms. It's an ambiguous name, but we got to read it all.
Yeah, I think further reading is, in effect, it has nothing to do with what I was talking about, the structure of their jaws.
Well,
have you ever been bitten by one, Lee?
I have. Yeah, they don't want to let go.
No, they're nasty.
And they're nasty. They're a mess to cut up.
But they catch fish unbelievable.
They do catch fish.
Yeah. One other quick topic I wanted to bring up. Tomorrow, obviously, is I don't know if they still call it trophy season. But,
I don't know.
With your rockfish, you know, one rockfish, I think, what did you say, 35 inches?
35 inches, yeah.
Yeah. If, I don't know if the word catch and release is adequate, but these are the brood. A lot of these big fish that are going to be caught tomorrow and throughout this short season are our brood stock, the big cow female fish that have not spawned yet.
That's true.
And it's just I'm just putting it out there. I think I've heard of a couple of guides and whatnot have. Actually, you know, they're considering and implementing within them their own ranks, you know, letting some of these bigger cowfish go because they're very important. Our young of the year index has been down consistently for the last couple of years, and these big females haven't spawned yet, and it's just a thought. I mean, And our little clique, we like taking pictures and whatnot, but I'm just going to leave it at that and, you know, wish everybody good luck, you know, fishing tomorrow
and with the
season coming up.
No question. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Thanks,
take care.
Lee.
Yep.
I could tell you one thing real quick before
what?
You get going on that.
What?
I'm in the mood to go fishing now.
Good.
We got to find a place, though. Ever since I can't get down the slope of my dad's house.
I know.
So we got to find a good perch place. So my dad's house was perfect.
And the Bill Burton Fishing Pier is closed.
Yeah, so we got to work on that because I'm really in the mood to go fishing right this minute. I mean, I could get dressed and go right now.
We need a license.
You get it online.
We'll get one.
But anyway, I'm just in the mood. The bloodworm talk has gotten to me.
Well, good.
I wish I get down. My dad has this extremely dangerous dock to get to.
Yep.
And it's hard for people who don't have back problems to get to it, let alone somebody who's going to kill herself trying to get down there.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, here we are, sighing and taking, you know, valuable airtime up just pausing. We don't need to do that. See, the thing is, you're not allowed to pause during a radio show. You have to keep talking because nobody wants to hear dead air.
It wasn't dead.
I know. You were talking. You were talking about your dad's dock, and you're in the mood to go fishing. I understand it.
And the pause was a...
reminiscent.
No, it was... It brought something to the conversation that would it...
It emphasized a particular point.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Chris did that. Chris said that. That's very good, Chris. Do we have any callers on the line, Chris? Rescue me again.
Well, that's just it. I got to screen one real quick.
Ah, okay, good. Well, while he's doing that, I can do something else here. Let's see.
You just took a pause.
I know. I'm trying not to take a pause.
I'm going to keep reminding you every time you pause.
I think you should do that. Absolutely.
Oh, don't you worry.
Don't worry. I got it coming. All right. You know, Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors, fishing season is here, and crabbing is just right there. Get a little warmer water, I think we're going to be good. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors, a.k.a. Crab Headquarters in Edgewater, the selection of tackle for freshwater, tidal, and bay fishing is amazing. Rods and reels from the top brands, artificial lures for perch, bass, snakeheads, and rockfish line the walls. Live bait and ice as well. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors, your local crabbing headquarters, stocks crab traps and trot lines, nets and bait bags and steamers and crab seasoning, and also much more, anything involved with crabbing. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors, located 3137 Solomon's Island Road. That's, you know, Route 2. On the northbound side near Advanced Auto Parts in Edgewater. Call 410-956-0300. On the hunting side, they have a fine selection of guns, Matthews and Hoyt bows, crossbows, and all the accessories to go bow hunting. The waterfowl department is always ready. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors has everything you need for recreational commercial crabbing and freshwater, tidal, and bay fishing tackle. For more information, call 410-956-0300. Visit BayCountryCrabbingSupply.com. Hey, Waterman, bring your license. You'll get a discount. Spurry's Tire Service. Talked at length about lug nuts today. Spurry's Tire Service changed out my lug nuts. Located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50 in Easton. That's where the locals get their tires and auto service work done. Featuring American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, as well as Michelin, Yokohama, they have it all. Spurry's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, your garden tractor, any maker model, tire service, full service, automotive repair, 24-hour truck service, and more has kept Spurry's customers, including me and Robin, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires or call Spurry's Tire Service in Easton at 410-822-7384. Visit their website, spurrystire.com. And the phone number again, 410-822-7384 for Spurry's Tire Service at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50 in Easton. We'll be right back.
Tell some warmer numbers now that we're flipping the calendar over to May. Tomorrow, we'll see 80s for the new work week. We do hit 70 this afternoon, not as cold as the business week. Sunshine today and 70 degrees, low tonight 46. Afternoon shower Sunday, high of 67, and then upper 70s near 80 for early next week, Monday through Wednesday, with a chance for some more light showers. Tuesday night and Wednesday, rainfall totals will be light. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition, too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
By my side, all the things I'm missing, good fiddles, love, and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, hit 'em up, move 'em on, move 'em on, hit 'em up, ride. Yeah, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride.
We're going to be moving, moving, moving. So here's my question, and this is for Robin.
Uh-oh.
Not for you, but for your benefit.
Oh.
I would like to ask our Eastern Shore listeners where a good spot for perch might be.
That's what I was trying to get out there, but you were more succinct.
You want to know the best place to go for perch?
I just want to get some white perch and cook them. But I want to catch them first. I love catching fish.
I know you do. All right. Paul is on the line. Good morning, Paul. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Paul.
Hi there. Hi there. You were talking about bloodworms, so I thought maybe you wanted a little information or discuss nightcrawlers.
Sure, I'd love to.
Yeah, they're the largest nightcrawlers that we buy usually at the store, as I recall. I read back when 1960s on this, come out of Canada.
Correct.
And the nightcrawler will come out of the hole at night,
yep,
and he'll leave the tip at the hole. So if he's disturbed, he can go back down. They catch,
yep,
him by using infrared light or something that they're not sensitive to when,
right,
you harvest,
exactly,
them.
Yep.
Now, my father got very involved in this, and he started raising the largest that you can raise in captivity. It was called the African nightcrawler. It came out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not as big as the regular night crawlers were used to,
right,
but it was the largest that you could raise. And he had boxes in his basement, long boxes about 2 foot wide and 6 foot long, and he had peat moss in them. You,
yep,
raised it, and then you put the food stuff in for them. I can't remember the food we put in anymore.
Right.
But we harvested them, and actually, I took them. We had bags, too, that we bought that we could store them in for about a week or so without having to have them disturbed. And I took them around to some of the service stations near the freshwater ponds in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And we sold, I don't know, 7,000 of them or so, but it wasn't enough to
make a
to
profit.
Cover our expenses.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was an interesting time for whatever you, it was worth.
Sure. Well, I was in the live bait business for 3 years. Back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of got me into the publishing business, because I was visiting one of our customers somewhere in central Pennsylvania and ran across this magazine called Fish Finder. And there was an ad in there for sales representatives, and I thought, well, I'm already in these shops in the bait business, so maybe I can sell some advertising, and that's what launched the publishing career. But you are quite correct. The largest night crawlers we get from we buy here are from Canada.
Yes.
Same type of situation in Canada. There are people who have golf courses and large tracts of land leased for the night crawler rights.
Mm-hmm.
And crews of people will go out in at night, like you said, to harvest the night crawlers. And the interesting thing is that a night crawler in the spring is different than a night crawler in the summer, because in the spring they are engorged with water.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so they look and they appear larger than they actually are because of the water in the tissues. So everybody wants big, juicy, you know, night crawlers, but the same night crawler that's, you know, looks
yes.
huge in the spring does not look the same in the summer or the fall. So they are packed in styrofoam containers in peat moss called flats and sold by the 500 to the dealers through various wholesalers. Again, it comes from the picker to the buyer to the wholesaler to the retailer. So, you know, the price has increased each step of the way, just like so much, you know, in our economy. So, but, yeah, that is correct. And they are, what is the word? A night crawler can breed with a night crawler. They contain both male and female organs.
That's right. They're bisexual or whatever.
Whatever it's called. Yes, they are.
You're right.
And they go. The egg sac is that thing in the middle that we usually run the hook through. That's where the eggs are produced.
Mm-hmm.
And
the night crawlers too. Filter the food stuff or whatever through their entire body.
That's correct.
There's a strip that comes down, a circular strip or something,
yep.
comes down the body, and they simulate the food that way.
That's true. And it's leaf litter probably what you fed them. But they will eat the vegetation, and what comes out is the purest form of topsoil that you can get.
Absolutely.
And they are beneficial. We have them here in the yard, Robin. Did you know that?
What?
Nightcrawlers.
Yeah.
Yep. They aerate the soil. They keep the topsoil, you know, generated. And they're very, very good for anybody that has them. I picked them by the hundreds when I was a kid. I lived in a nursing home, and we had lawns and parking lots and so forth around it. At nighttime after a rain, you would go out there and there'd be thousands of them on the blacktop. And my dad and I would go around with a coffee can and pick them, and then he'd put them in a – do you remember the old bus bedding material? It was kind of like a shredded cardboard or shredded paper. It was gray. He would take that bag of that, and he'd soak that in water, and he'd put it in this big bait container bait box, a fiber bait box with metal strips around the outside to keep it all contained, and we keep our night crawlers cool and cold for the whole season. And
yeah, I remember too when we in these boxes, we would cut corrugated cardboard in strips, and we would put one layer in and crisscross these. The worms eat the glue that holds the corrugation together.
Okay, interesting.
It's a favorite food source of them, and so then they do disintegrate the cardboard, and you end up with that in your soil mixture.
Yeah, yep. Which
amazing.
Highly biodegradable, no question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joe basically sent us an email that said night crawlers and honeybees were both unknown here on this continent. They were brought here by the settlers.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah, fascinating. I love this kind of conversation. You know.
Well, it takes me back to when my father was here.
Yeah.
And we worked together on that raising those worms in the mid-60s, 1960s.
Yeah.
And he was so excited about it. He was into it with everything he had. It was, in fact, he continued raising them even when we didn't sell them until he died. He
wow.
loved it. He loved the experience of them.
That's interesting. Well, my experience is a little different. I worked for a company called Franco's Live Bait. And Franco was a fellow who was a principal at high school. And his whole family was involved in the business. And he developed a medium, which he patented, that had, I think, 27 different ingredients in it. There was cortisone and aspirin and all kinds of stuff, but it was primarily... It was primarily peat moss, sawdust, and I can't remember what else. But everything was baked. All the material was cooked to a certain temperature, and then water was added to a certain percentage, and that medium was constantly turned and mixed. And he had a factory where we would go, and they would take these Donald Duck orange juice cans, blanks, of course, that already had the strip attached. You know, this Donald Duck orange juice can had a strip, plastic strip you would pull to pull the top off. Well, that was already in the can. They would put the medium in the can, put the amount of worms in there, a dozen night crawlers or 30 red worms or whatever it was, and then they had a little hand-operated machine that you would place the lid on top of the can, which was the bottom, and run it through this machine, it would seal it. And I would take those sealed cans with a label on them out to everywhere. And my territory was from York, Pennsylvania, down through Hagerstown and out to Altoona and Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And I would sell those worms in cases of 24 cans or 72 cans or whatever the dealer wanted. And they had a variety of baits. And actually... The one campground I had in Bedford County was a customer, and they called me and they said, "We're ready for some worms, but we have some left from last year." And I'm like, "Oh, great." I said, "Well, we'll trade them in." And so it was like six cans. So I gave them six cans as a trade. I took the six cans, put them in my truck, opened them up, and after 6 months, those night crawlers were still alive. So I took them out to Shawnee State Park on my way home and fished with them, caught a nice bass and some other fish. It was cold wintertime, and those worms were fresh as could be. So, yep, had a history with some night crawlers.
So did I.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Have a super day.
Have a good
day. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Robin, you were awake?
Uh-huh.
Are you awake?
Uh-huh.
Are you?
I wrote you a message.
You did what?
I wrote you a message.
Oh, okay. I got it. Oh, well.
I was trying my best not to laugh. So.
Well, I did. I lived in a nursing home.
I know, but when you talk about collecting worms in a nursing home, it just doesn't go together.
I didn't make that connection.
I know. My sick mind did, but
But it's okay. You're tired. I get it. Yeah.
What would you do without my
Info?
Comical relief?
Comical relief, all right. That's for sure. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. I try to bring something to the show. It's all I got.
Today? Yeah, you're not at the top of your game today.
Huh?
You're not at the top of your game today.
I thought I was being very...
Very what?
I don't know. Uh-huh. Never mind. Forget it. I'm going to start a fight this early.
Nah,
it's going to be a long day.
I'm not starting a fight. So... What do you think, Chris? Any callers online?
Not on top of my game. Thank
you. No, sir.
You're half asleep.
No, I'm not. I'm taking care of fans. Friends.
Fans and friends. Friends and fans.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you keep doing that.
I'm your media socialite.
You're a media socialite, all right. Chris?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, another phone call. Hold on.
All right. I'm gonna do some commercials while you're doing that. I want to talk about my buddy John Baressi at Precision Taxidermy in Catonsville. Johnny specializes in waterfowl, and that's where I take my waterfowl to be mounted. And actually, you know, I took a beautiful surf scoter there for a friend, and she just absolutely loves it. Carol, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I think she won a free mount at one of the Hunting Coalition banquets or something like that, and we got it, Johnny, to do that for us. So, anyway, John Baressi's highly trained in his craft. I mean, he really is. He takes courses all the time, and his quality work speaks for itself. Go on his Facebook page, see what he looks like, and see that beautiful mallard that he mounted in 2021, because when you look at that picture, Precision Taxidermy, competing at the Maryland Eastern Regionals Taxidermy Convention, took the honor first place as a state champion in waterfowl.
His work is gorgeous.
It is. And now Precision Taxidermy offers freeze-drying service for items like velvet antlers and small game birds and turkey heads. And, you know, Precision Taxidermy creates outstanding exhibits for all game species, including deer and big game. Precision Taxidermy, located at 504 Crosby Road in Catonsville. Write it down, 504 Crosby Road, 410-7, that's just off rolling, by the way, 410-744-1779. That's 410-744-1779 for Precision Taxidermy. It's turkey season, just saying. Dedicated to preserving your trophies and your memories. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you're going crabbing, you need to stop at Clyde's first, because they've got the frozen bait, they've got the crab bait, they've got the ice, they've got trot lines, they've got open top crab traps, they've got low profile crab traps, they've got wooden baskets with lids, they've got seasoning, they've got steamer pots, they've got nets, they've got hand line. Get the point? If you need it for crabbing, Clyde Sports Shop has it in stock. Shakespeare rods and reels, including the Ugly Stick, Fluger rods and reels, Penn reels, kids combos, and those famous St. Croix fishing rods. If you want to upgrade your collection of fishing rods, St. Croix is the way to go. Live and frozen bait and minnows, fishing license rod repairs, any kind of hooks or lures and terminal tackle for any type of fish, including circle hooks for rockfish, bucktails, umbrellas, and parachutes. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, 410-242-6108. Hey, do you have a beautiful fireplace that you never use? We did, too. It's just a hole in the wall. It sucked all the heat out of the room. We fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's on Kent Island, the premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected an Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's did the installation. They provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service as well. We both enjoy the convenience of the remote control, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. Hearth America Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands, and you will enjoy the shopping experience. You can select a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove, too, from Hearth America Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop into the showroom soon. You'll be ready when the cold weather shows back up. Visit BackyardBillies.com, the Hearth America Facebook page, 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Hearth America at Backyard Billies, 7 days a week. Open 7 days a week, Route 50 at exit 44B, Evans Avenue in Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace. And we'll be right back. And we'll be right back.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, and any kind of tools. Your Linex Bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hopkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called ValueGuard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Now, Walt forgot something. Walt, what did you want to add, buddy?
Yeah. Well, I just, about the worms.
Yeah.
When I was a boy back in the 50s, my neighbor was big into that, and he had about a foot-long probe, electric, and he would shove that in the ground, and it would bring all the worms to the surface. And so he'd walk around his backyard the day before he was going fishing, and that's what he would use. I'd never seen anybody or heard anybody else ever did that.
I've heard of that.
I was there.
They used to advertise those. You'd send an electric current down into the ground, and the worms would come to the surface. Yep. All right, man. Thanks.
I thought I'd bring that to you. Have a great day, and Robin, good luck fishing.
Thank you.
There we go. Hey, Uncle Dale in Easton, how you doing?
Quick story about night crawlers. My dad moved to D.C. when he was a teenager, but he told me that at times they used to go night crawler hunting on the Capitol grounds. And it depended on which particular Capitol officer was on duty.
Right.
There were some that would run them off, but there were some that were fishermen, and they just sort of, you know, let them go. But right on the Capitol.
Where was that?
D.C.
D.C. On the U.S. Capitol ground.
What year? Years.
Oh, probably in the 30s, mid-30s.
Huh. My dad was a Capitol police officer.
Oh, was he? Okay.
That's the reason I was asking.
Yeah,
he was a Capitol Police officer from 60 to, I think, 63 or 64.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, but I don't think you would do that today, Alan.
No, probably not.
I don't think so. So anyway, but interesting story about worms. I've enjoyed that very much this morning.
Yep.
Me too.
Yeah, we like to talk about that kind of stuff.
I'll give you a shout suddenly about next week.
Yeah, do that.
Please take him.
Okay.
Please take him.
I'm begging you.
I'm not touching that one. So.
Thursday or Fridays are great.
Are you doing good or not doing good?
Depends.
Okay.
Every day makes a difference.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. Every day is different. But I'll give you a shout Sunday.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you.
All right, thanks. All right,
see you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there you go, Robin. You got 2 minutes to fill. What are you going to do?
I like shuffling you off to Dale and Rudy.
Rudy, I did respond to Rudy, but he sent me some pretty good stuff yesterday. Let me see if I can find it.
See, I knew I'd refresh your memory and make you do
something.
Yeah,
and we also heard from Captain Dawn this morning.
And I am on top of my game.
I didn't say you weren't.
Yes, you did.
Oh, that's right. I did.
Oh, you're going to pay for that.
I know. I always do. So... Oh, my.
You all have no idea.
Rudy sent me something very funny yesterday. There he is. California is building a 200-foot by 10-foot lane wildlife crossing over Highway 101 to protect wildlife. Governor Newsom said it will be complete with soil and vegetation. How about that? A 200-foot by 10-lane wildlife crossing over Highway 101. Rudy asked a simple question. Wouldn't it be simpler and cheaper to put up a deer crossing sign?
we have to play
it's
that next
California.
Week. I know.
You know. Probably need more environmental conditions to put a deer crossing sign up than a highway overpass. Robin?
Okay, let's